I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime, spooky, you name it podcast. And we like
self-care for yourself.
Oh yeah, you're going low.
Yeah, I'm trying to do it differently.
Change it up.
I'm trying to keep it classy over here.
So what did you do this week for self-care?
So this week for self-care, I got like a whole bunch of bath stuff for my cousin Christmas, where we exchange gifts with our cousins.
Ooh, yes.
So I used my fancy bath stuff, and I listened.
How did you feel about it?
It was good. It's from a place in Littleton. Like, what is it called? Like Juniper Seed.
Okay, you and me Mercantile. Need to straight up just take an afternoon and go to Littleton.
Yeah, I've
never
seen that
place. There's so many
stores
you and me would be like, oh my god, oh my god, you know?
Yeah. So I use, like, the bath salts and stuff. Thanks, Cousin John, for getting me those. And I listen to one of my favorite kind of, like, chill podcasts. If I'm, like, not in the mood for murder, you know?
What's your chill podcast?
It's called Comfy Cozy Witch. And it's with this lady named Jenny Blonde. And she just, like, talks about, like, a whole wide variety of things, but like witchy things, like how you can do witchy stuff in the kitchen. She owns her own like apothecary, and like I just really like her. She has some really good like tips about,
so
like,
she's our idol.
I love her. Yeah, she's amazing. And it's just like nice because it's like chill, and I get some good like witchy tips. So one of the ones I was listening to that I really want to do was, she was talking about like introducing yourself to either your oracle cards or your tarot cards and sort of doing a ritual around that.
I got tarot cards.
So that they can best sort of like give you messages, you know, like, so you're kind of like, hi, I'm Danae, like, let me introduce myself, yeah, kind of thing. And then you can connect with them and you get clearer, more concise messages. So I was like, ooh, that's such a smart idea. I've never thought of that. So I want to do that. And then she was talking, like, she did an episode about, like, listener stories about, like, their experiences with the Fae. And I was like, oh my god, I love this. It's just like,
yeah, it's a good one.
It's a feel-good, like, I don't know. It's comfy and cozy and witchy, and I love it.
That's awesome.
So if you've never checked it out, check it out.
Well, I got some good gifts from Cousins Christmas. I got the Matthew Perry book, Friends, Lovers, and The Big Terrible Thing. And I hope by the time this airs, I'll finish reading it. It's good. It's heavy. It's very heavy. And then I got The Butcher and the Wren, and then Stay Sexy and Don't Get Murdered.
What's The Butcher and the Wren?
It's a book. It's like a mystery book by one of the hosts of Morbid.
Oh.
And she's talked about it. People, it has a great review. So I was like, okay. And a bunch of candles.
God, I love
and
candles.
He got me a like a salt lamp. I never like when we have Cousins Christmas, I don't know what to ask for. So I just did this and he literally got me everything. Like he killed it.
Nice.
I was even like, thank you. He's like, yeah, it was easy. I was like, I should probably make stuff easier on people.
Who, you had Chris, right? Or Chris had
Chris
you?
Had me.
Okay.
I had Ellie, so.
Okay.
But yeah, so I've been reading Matthew Perry's book, and it's really good. It's hard. It's difficult.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when I finish reading it, I'll
let us know your review.
Everyone know what I think. It's It's a lot. It's not easy to just like sit down and just read through it.
Sure. Gotta take some breaks.
Yeah, absolutely. So
that's my self-care. That was your self-care? Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So
tell me things.
This week, I'm gonna tell you about the stalking and abduction of Mary and Beth Stoffer.
Okay.
Stoffer? I think it's Stoffer.
Okay.
And this is a survival tale, which is good.
Hell yeah.
I just want to tell you that ahead of time.
I love survivor stories.
Yes. And this is one I remember. Okay, so I've always watched crime shows, but I never, like, would remember stories. But as I heard about this, I remember watching a, like, I Survived or show where this lady's telling the story. And I remember I was like, oh my God, I've heard this one before.
Ooh, okay.
But it's not, I don't know. I'll see if you remember.
She, told her own story, or it was, like, a Lifetime?
She told her own story.
Cool. Okay.
Is there a Lifetime movie about it? Yes, there
probably
is.
Probably.
Yeah, it's, like, the Mary Stoffer story, and I watched part of that.
Okay.
So, Mary Stoffer was born January 1st, 1943, Capricorn, in Duluth, Minnesota. And Duluth, Minnesota is one of those, have you ever heard of the Duluth company, like, the clothes for men, like
I thought that was Georgia, Duluth, Georgia.
Mm-mm. Duluth, there's multiple Minnesota. Duluths. Yeah, but that's kind of where that comes from, supposedly. Okay. But you know how it is. So she was a Baptist, and she was very active in her church, as was her entire family. They would donate their time, and she actually really liked being around, like the church activities and stuff. It was
sure. It's like a community.
Yeah, absolutely, it was community. And around the age of 16, an event at the church, whether it be volunteering or a get-together event, she actually ended up meeting her future husband, Irving Stoffer.
In love.
And he was 2 years older than her, so they were pretty close in age. It wasn't like he's 30 and she's 16, as it so often is. So she graduated high school in 1961. She ended up going to the same university as her boyfriend at the time, Irving, and she went to Bethel University, and she ended up majoring in math.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and a minor in music, which is
wow.
Strange. You know, it's kind of math and music. Okay.
Well, I don't know. It kind of makes sense though.
Yeah.
Could be a little
bit. It was just like, because they're so opposite ends of the spectrum, you know?
Damn. I have mad respect for people who are good at math, because I'm just like, what?
My brain, it just,
I can add and subtract and multiply and divide, and that's about as far as I get.
It's the algebraic equations that get me.
Like majoring in it? Like,
yeah.
Genius.
I know. Good. I'm,
I just have respect because, my brain does not work that way.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
And I can't even, try to think about it, or I'll cry at the kitchen table.
Yeah. Math was rough. But her boyfriend was actually involved in the seminary. And do you know what a seminary is? It's basically like the university you go to if you want to be like a pastor or a priest.
Okay.
Or a minister. And, you know, like since he wanted to be a priest, and a rule about priests is you can't have a wife.
Oh.
And I don't know if this is a requirement, it used to be, but you also had to be a virgin.
Gross.
Yeah. So.
So she didn't get any?
No. Bummer. But he's probably going to be a pastor or a minister because they can be married.
Oh, okay.
So, but his goal ultimately was to be a priest. But
he's
like,
he was like, well, but Mary,
yeah,
we're in love, so.
So I guess I'll let you pass.
So I'll let you hit it.
So when she graduated college in 1965, she ended up going to Roseville, and she became a high school math teacher. And not long after this, she and Irving ended up getting married.
Aww.
And part of the seminary schools, you have to do mission trips and stuff like that.
Okay.
Especially with Baptists. That's something that's really important to them. Baptists and Latter-day Saints, you know.
It's their own intern program.
Yeah, exactly.
Go on a mission.
Yeah.
That's cute. Where'd you go? Do you know?
They went to Philippines.
Oh.
And she decided to take some time off of teaching and just go with him. So, yeah, they went to the Philippines for a year.
Dang.
And, yeah, Mary ended up going back to teaching, but not for super long.
Hmm.
And the two of them ended up moving to Polk, Nebraska, because Irving was able to get a pastor position at the Baptist church.
Okay.
And when you become a minister, it's like they want you to have experience. So it's kind of hard to find a position at first because...
So wait, this might be a stupid question.
No, it's probably not.
Are pastors and ministers the same thing?
I don't know. There's probably similarities. I don't want to say yes or no because I don't know.
I just know originally going to be a priest, but then he got... Then he decided to be a pastor?
I don't know what the difference between pastor and ministers are. If you find anything, let me know. So stop me when you find out.
Okay.
But yeah, they just really want you to have experience, and he didn't have any, but they... Wait,
how are you supposed to have experience if it's like your first time?
Well, it's like the people who are like, you need 20 years of social media experience. It's like, okay.
And also like... You
can we need 30 years of social media experience. Okay. The infancy of the internet. Sure, I'll have 30 years.
Oh, look, a Venn diagram.
Okay.
What's... Okay, so...
Of a pastor and a minister?
Yeah, a pastor can be a priest, assigned to a single church or community, functions as a religious head. Like you said, denominations allow marriage, expected to be able to...
And this is pastor, right?
Yeah. So the pastors serve the duties of the minister. Now, the minister is ordained into position to perform religious functions, broader candidate pool. Even young people can be ordained as ministers. Doesn't necessarily have to be able to practice the duties of a pastor, commonly found in Protestant churches.
And okay, then so the pastor middle, is correct because it's like...
They're both religious head of a Christian religion. They do sermons, religious activities, spiritual guidance, and ministering the sacraments. So, like, basically the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a lot of similarities cool. of them. Well, that's actually good to know. Cause...
Okay, I had no idea. Sorry.
Yeah. No, thank you for actually looking that up. But yeah, they needed experience and they gave him a chance. So he was like, let's take it.
All right.
And they wanted to stay in Polk for about 2 years and see what else was out there.
Yeah. I'm sure not a lot's happening in Polk.
It's Nebraska. Nebraska. So.
They're like, we like corn.
Are they close to Lincoln and Omaha? Those places are fun for Nebraska, but...
Just kidding.
I mean,
Omaha... I don't think I've been to either of those places.
Oh, Omaha's actually, like, it's they're, like, super active city, but I actually had a good time there. But I also went there when I was living in Sioux Falls, so, like...
So anything
paint drying was so fun. Was
amazing.
Yeah. I'm sure people in Sioux Falls are like, Kim can fuck off, and I don't blame them. I would be so annoyed if I was talking shit about Denver. Like, I'm done listening. So they stayed there a little bit longer, and in 1972 they ended up having their daughter Beth.
Aww.
And then in 1974 they ended up having their son Steve. And in 1975 they ended up returning to the Philippines for another mission trip, and they ended up staying there for 4 years.
Oh shit.
Mm-hmm. They really enjoyed the Philippines.
Okay.
And
wow, 4 years.
Yeah, so when they came back, they ended up living at the Baptist Church in Arden Hills, Minnesota, because they decided to move back to Minnesota.
Okay.
And the plan wasn't to stay for very long, just a year, so they could go back to the Philippines and continue their mission work. It's not stated, but I guarantee, and this is just, and I'm not guaranteeing it with, like, but I think you can lose your citizenship in the United States when you're gone for a long time, so I think they came back for a year to retain citizens of the U.S. because...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, like, they wanted
Are
to stay...
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Because Steven has dual citizenship, and he... Because he was born in France. But he hasn't been to France since he was, like, 8.
Yeah, I... The U.S. is really strange about that, because I know there were some couples on 90 Day Fiancé where they had to come back to the U.S., No, I know. Well, because that's how I know about it. It's like some of them were like about to lose their citizenship.
Oh.
Like one of the couples, because she wanted to go to China, but they had to go back to the U.S. for a year. I don't know this for sure because it was the 70s, but I... And
sure.
Yeah, it's just an assumption. All right. So we fast forward to the 1980s in May, and the family's getting ready to move back to the Philippines. it doesn't really state why, if they went back to the Philippines in that time, or if, I think they were going back to the Philippines, U.S., and in the 80s, they're like, let's just move to the Philippines, we enjoy it.
Wow. So did she, like, teach math out there, too, while she's on her mission?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
It just said she was a teacher at one point, like, back in the day.
Okay.
So the family's getting ready to move back to the Philippines, so pretty much all their stuff is packed, and they're, like, moving back there. Like, they're moving all their stuff. Like, they're pretty serious like about it this time. Like, they're
permanently going
to
live
there. And Mary decides that it would be a good decision to get her kids, you know, their hair cut and just groomed and everything so they don't have to worry about it when they get to the Philippines.
Sure.
So Mary, earlier in the day, goes and gets Steve's hair cut. And then when she comes home late afternoon, she grabs Beth, and her and Beth go to the salon.
Okay.
Beth gets her hair cut, and as far as the salon knows, they left and they're headed home. Because that evening, that's their last evening in the U.S. So some family members are going to come over and they're going to have dinner and then, like, be on their way the next day.
Okay.
So their family shows up at around 6, and at this point, Mary and Beth aren't back. And if you remember, it's the 1980s. Like, it wasn't like they had phones and there was no way to really contact them. They're not
texting each other.
Yeah. Imagine, like, you meet a friend and they have to show up at that time.
Right. Like, wild. I remember there's, like, a Seinfeld episode where they're, like, at a restaurant and, like, they're supposed to meet someone and, like, they don't show up and they have to, like, use the restaurant phone. And it's just, like, I can't even imagine a time like that because we were, like, children.
Yeah.
But, like, if you don't meet up with someone at that time, you're just like, well, I guess.
How often do we text each other, like, be there in 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Like, when we're already running.
Just, like a little that's update.
Who we are as humans.
But it's, like, I can imagine, like, having that where it's just, like, well, if you don't show up, then I guess they just, like,
think you're an ditched asshole. You. Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
So, yeah, so they didn't really have phones, so it wasn't like he could contact her.
Okay.
And, you know, Irving thought it was weird, but he wasn't panicked quite yet.
Sure.
He could have said maybe they went and got some food.
Or, yeah, maybe they're running late.
Yeah, they ran to the grocery store. Like, who knows? So he ended up calling the salon and figured out that they had left 2 hours earlier.
Ooh.
And then he started calling friends because he's like, that's 2 hours weird.
Is a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So he started calling friends to see if they had, like, you know, stopped by or something. And nobody had seen them.
Uh-oh.
And friends and family were like, we don't know where they are.
Uh-oh.
So Irving ended up calling the police to report her missing, Beth and Mary.
Okay.
And they pretty much were like, she's a grown-ass woman. She can do what she wants. Like, maybe she doesn't want to go to the Philippines. Maybe that's why she ran off.
Sure. Or maybe she's just, like, running errands or something. Like, who knows?
They didn't take it seriously.
Yeah. Because it's only been a couple hours, which, like, as a family member, you're like, you're supposed to be here 2 hours ago. But I'm sure in the police, their eyes, they're like, yeah, it's 2 hours. Calm down.
Like, yeah.
You know?
But he's just like, you know, and good on him for reporting it sooner.
Well, so, yeah, and he just probably had that feeling of, like, something's weird.
Something isn't adding up.
Yeah.
So, new character I'm introducing, his name is Jason Willman. He was a six-year-old boy, and he was really well-liked by everyone. He was just a sweetheart, and police were actually searching for him because he had also been reported as missing in the same-ish area. Mm-hmm, same day.
Oh, shit.
Same-ish time.
Okay.
Because the shopping center where Beth was getting her hair cut was where he was reported being near.
Oh, weird.
And so he was missing.
Huh.
But the cops were more worried about him and not so much Mary and Beth at that time, which I guess kind of makes sense.
Yeah, like a six-year-old boy alone versus a mom and a daughter.
They're like
together, maybe.
She's running away because she doesn't want to go to the Philippines, but the six-year-old boy is missing. So, I mean, I can kind of understand that.
Okay.
They just figured she left of her own volition, and they needed to focus on this little boy instead of the mom and the daughter.
Okay.
So back to Jason's disappearance. He was with his friend at Hazelnut parking lot.
Okay.
I don't know why two little boys are hanging out in the parking lot, but it's the 80s. Why are they six
hanging out in a parking lot?
By themselves? I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
But it's same area, and they saw a suspicious person in a car, and they just kind of gave them a bad feeling about him. And Jason at one point, like, approached the car, kind of like, what's this guy doing?
Oh, my God.
He's six. You're
six. You're a child. What are you doing?
And the man grabbed Jason and threw him in the car.
Oh, my God.
And the man didn't notice that Jason was with his friend, so he didn't grab the friend, and the friend kind of watched what happened.
Oh, my God.
It happened really quickly.
That's so terrifying.
Yeah. So the next day, police are in the area. Jason was taken, and they actually ended up finding a license plate on the ground, and they ran the plates and ended up being the license plate to the car that Mary was driving that was the church was allowing her to drive.
What?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm the so missing confused. License plate was for the car because Mary was in that area, and they're like, sure. That's kind of weird that the license plate is here and she's missing too.
Okay.
So, because of this, the detectives actually connected the case of Mary and her daughter to Jason.
Okay.
They're like, how strange is it?
That's really weird.
That she and her daughter are missing and this little boy's missing. Like, that's, and they're in the same area, same time, you know, like, that's just weird.
Yeah.
And, like, there wasn't, like, a natural disaster or something that happened or anything that was, like, you know, constitutes them missing.
Okay, this is puzzling.
And the weirdest part, though, is that they didn't know each other. It wasn't like Jason was, like, best friend or something. Like, they were total strangers.
And the kid, the friend of Jason's, saw a man. So
yes,
it's not
and
like...
he gave them a good description.
Okay.
But how good of a description can a six-year-old give? Like, he was a scary man. We'll tell us more about him. He was scary.
He was big and scary.
Yeah, like, okay. But they said they got a good description from him. So that's good. So 300 officers and volunteers ended up searching for the missing people just to cover all their bases.
Okay.
And, the police did make, Irving take a lie detector test, which they should just to make sure. And
yeah,
he passed the flying colors because they just wanted to make sure. They're like, oh, did she really? Yeah.
Wife and child.
Yeah. And he was really concerned. Okay. So as to be expected, shit was fucked. Like, there's a little boy missing. There's a mom and her daughter. Like, that's really scary. And there was a composite sketch, and people were calling to say that it was definitely Irving. Like, that's who they saw. They saw Irving. Because if you see their pictures together, you can kind of see it. But at the same time, it's like, it's a composite sketch. Like, calm down.
Yeah.
And we always say the husband did it, you know?
Sure.
Because usually they do.
But why would he...
But it was really getting to Irving because he's like, why would I do this to my wife? Like, we're trying to move back to the Philippines. Like,
and why would you do it? Like, if you wanted to, like, get rid of your family, usually you get rid of your whole family. Like, why are you just getting rid of your wife and daughter? And then some random child?
Yeah, exactly.
You're abducting? Like, that doesn't really make sense.
He just was like, I had no part in this.
Yeah.
And it kind of went on for this for a while until the end of June.
Okay.
June 30th. He actually received a letter that was from Mary, and the letter basically said that everyone should stop looking for her and that she did leave on her own.
Sounds like a fucking lie.
And it was in her handwriting.
Okay.
Survival story.
Abducted.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you said that at the beginning.
Abducted, I'm like, I mean, yeah.
You're like, yes, correct.
Good job.
You got it.
So Irving knew better. He knew that he knew his wife, and he knew that she wouldn't write this unless she had to. Like,
yeah,
she,
like, someone's forcing her to write it.
And not long after the initial letter, they got a second letter, and she basically told the cops to stop looking for her, that they would, or they would never see her again.
They're just like, okay.
Like, all right, sounds legit.
She
sounds
said it's
legit.
Not looking for her. So.
But Irving was like, this isn't her. Like, yeah, that's not Mary.
No.
He knew a kidnapper was behind this.
Right.
So before that letter came, because, like, people play sick pranks.
Right.
But Irving actually received a call on Father's Day from Beth. And she basically was calling to tell him Happy Father's Day. It's so sad.
Wait,
he's like,
it was actually Beth or is it a prank call?
Well, he didn't know. So it was kind of like, but it sounded like Beth.
That's fucked up.
Well, it sounded like Beth and everything. He didn't know. It ended up actually being Beth. It was Beth.
Oh.
But he didn't know this for sure.
What?
Yeah. And it was just like, Happy Father's Day. And he was trying to get as much information as he could. And, oh my God, the desperation of his voice. He's like, Bethy, honey, I love you so much. I miss you. And she's like, I miss you too, Dad. And it's like, you could just tell, she's being instructed to what to say. And she's allowed to say Happy Father's Day. And, he was just trying to get as much information. And the phone was tapped, which was good because the police were actually able to listen to the phone call and tape it. And you could
I was going to ask. Yeah. I was like, did they have it?
Yeah, so I was able to listen to it. I'll try to send a soundbite to this, but if not, you can search it on YouTube. And, there's just desperation in his voice, and it's so heartbreaking. And he's thrilled, though. You can tell he's just thrilled to be talking.
She's alive.
Mm-hmm, because he's talking to Bethy. And
I wonder, like, that just seems strange on the
abductor's part. He said, hey, can I talk to him? referring to the kidnapper. And Beth says, no, no, you can't. And then she's like, happy Father's Day, Dad. Love you. Click. So not enough time.
Not enough time.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Okay. So if your family member calls you after they went missing, your question is, what's the ransom, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What are the demands?
What other reason would they be?
You know? What's the ransom? What are your demands? Like, just let me know.
Yeah.
Because they just want to get their family member back.
Right.
But there was none of that. The kidnapper basically just wanted the family.
They're just keeping them, but, like, letting them call their family? Like,
yeah, they just wanted the... What? They, no demands. They just want the police to stop investigating it.
Just stop, guys. We're totally fine. Definitely weren't kidnapped, if that's what you're thinking.
We're like, having a fun time.
Yeah, like, what?
So... breaking the case alert, July 7th, the police in Arden County received a call from Mary Stauffer herself, and she was put on hold twice.
Guys,
she's like, Mary Stauffer, I've been missing. Please let me talk to the police. And they were like, let me find someone for
please.
You.
Hold, please. What?
And they're like playing fucked up music. And she's, yeah, they put her on hold twice. Like, don't do that. And she told them that she was the kidnap victim, and she also said that they needed someone to come pick them up.
Okay.
And Mary gave them an address of, like, come here. And when the police arrived, Mary and Beth were crouching behind a car. They didn't look healthy.
Oh, no.
But they did look relieved to be found.
Oh, my God.
So... at this time, and I don't know if I'm going to mention this later in the notes, the police told them to stay in the house, but they were like, what if he comes back? We don't want to be in the house. So, like, her and her daughter.
So they're just, literally at the so place they, where the guy was keeping them?
Yeah. So they were just like, let's go outside and hide in the bushes. And Mary's like, you know what? You're right. Like, let's get out of the house.
Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah, they were crouching behind a car, that good stuff. So at this time, Irving was talking to an FBI agent, and they decided to bring him to the police station, and he was super nervous, which they're like, get in the police car, come with us.
The FBI agent was nervous?
And they didn't really tell him why. Okay. So Irving's like, oh my God, what's going on? And they pick him up, and they're like taking him to the police station. They don't tell him anything.
Oh, they were just like, get in the car. They weren't like, we found your wife and daughter.
Yeah. So him and Steve were like super nervous. And on the way to the police station, he was trying to listen to the radio to see if he could figure out any information. But the panic was short-lived because the police told Irving that Beth and Mary were able to escape and they were alive and mostly well.
Oh, my God. What a relief.
Yeah, I'm sure he just was like, all the bricks that were on his chest just fell off.
Oh, wow.
So something that I thought was really strange was when he saw them, they were like chained and still zip-tied to each other.
Oh, why? They didn't like... unhook them?
Yeah, I thought that was really strange, but maybe it was like evidence or whatever.
Sure, but still kind of
but
weird.
I thought that was really weird, but yeah, he was just thrilled to see them. He didn't even give a shit. Like, he was just like, oh, thank God. But when he saw Mary, she was 20 pounds lighter.
Oh, God.
And she wasn't a big woman.
Yeah.
So she was like always like probably pretty average, but she was like a lot smaller.
Wasn't being fed.
Yeah. And the same day, a guy named Ming Shu was arrested from an electronics store. The police brought him back to the station. And for some fucking reason, he was able to see Mary.
What?
And he yelled at the top of his lungs when he saw her, like, why would you leave me?
Oh, my God.
I don't know why they would, like, let them see each other. I don't know why, like, you're not protecting Mary.
That's pretty damning, though. With his reaction to her.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you the story of what happened.
Okay, are you going to tell us about the boy?
Yes.
Okay.
So here's the story of what happened.
Like, where's the boy?
I know, it's vague right now because, like, they're just going with what they know. And, like,
yeah.
Like, the story. So you know what they know right now.
Okay.
You are in the dark.
Yeah, what the fuck happened?
Turn off the lights, that's where you are. Okay. So these women were at the salon. And they were about to head home, and they were on opposite sides of the car about to get in. You know, like when you walk up to the car, you're on the, you know, your friend's driving.
You're
going to
get on the
other
side.
Yeah. And Ming jumps out of nowhere and puts a gun to Beth's side.
Oh, God.
And he tells Mary that he just needs a ride. So she lets him in the car because she doesn't know, you know.
And that's her child.
Yeah, that's her child. So she lets him in the car and they start driving. And Mary tells him she'll take him where he needs to go, but she needs to do it quickly because she was expecting people.
Yeah.
In her mind, she's going home. She's got dinner. This man needs a ride, whatever. She's a woman that's going to help a guy out.
She'll de-escalate it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And they, yeah, she's like, I don't care. We need to go. Just let's do this quickly.
Sure.
And at one point, there was a police car behind them in traffic. And Mary was like, oh, yes, I'll try to get pulled over.
Yeah.
But Ming says, if this officer goes the same way as us and follows us, I will kill both of you. So Mary's like, well, fuck, I don't want him following me. So right. In traffic, he goes the opposite way. Then she goes and she's kind of relieved because she's like, well, great. I'm not going to be shot.
Oh, my gosh.
And at some point, Ming made Mary and Beth get out of the car and he duct taped them and put them in the trunk.
Oh, my God.
After Mary tried to protest it because she didn't want to be put in the trunk, understandably. But he said, too bad. And he put them in the trunk. And he ended up driving.
Okay.
For some reason, he pulled over after again, and he went to the trunk, and he realized that Beth had taken the tape off her mouth, and she was trying to get the tape off Mary's mouth.
Oh, shit.
So he put a spare tire on top of them so they wouldn't be able to move.
Ugh.
And all of a sudden, something was placed at Mary's feet.
Uh-oh.
And she didn't know what it was.
Okay.
And then she heard whimpering.
Oh.
Like, just little crying. And she realized it was Jason. And
what the hell is this guy doing?
The reason he kidnapped Jason? Jason saw them in the car. Because he was like, what's this guy doing?
And the friend didn't?
The friend didn't.
Okay. Huh.
But, yeah, the friend and him were getting too close to the car. He saw them, so he just grabbed Jason and put him in the trunk.
Okay, okay.
And, he just didn't want to witness. So Mary was talking to Jason and she told Jason their ages and was like, what's your age? You know, it's like trying to figure out information about him. And Jason told them that he was supposed to see his grandparents tomorrow, but he guessed he wouldn't be able to anymore.
Oh.
And they kind of talked about how they were scared.
So
Jason's like, I'm scared. And Mary's like, I'm scared too. Yeah. And Beth's like, I'm also scared.
How old was Beth again?
Beth was, like, probably in her, like, 43, and this is 83, so probably, like, late 30s.
Oh, I thought Beth was the child.
No. Mary's 43. Beth is, like, 8.
Okay, so she's also
pretty
young.
She's a little kid, yeah. Okay. Because she was born in 72, and this is 80, so, yeah, okay. Like, 8 years old.
Aww.
And they were also, like, we don't know who this man is.
Yeah, what the hell?
So, not long after this, the car stopped in an area. And Beth and Mary noticed that they took Jason out of the car and closed the trunk. And they assumed that he was just going to let him. And then Mary's like, he's just going to make us die in the back of this trunk. He's not coming back. We're stuck in this trunk. And not long after that, he made them get into a van.
So they thought that he was, like, killing Jason, or what did they?
Well, Mary asks. Okay. And Mary asked him where the little boy was. And he said he put the little boy in an area where he would be found.
Okay, I don't trust him, but sure.
Well, she can't really do much about it, unfortunately. Yeah. So she's kind of just gotta hope for the best.
Oh my
and
gosh.
He takes Mary and Beth to his home in Roseville, and he makes them get out of the van, and he makes them live in a closet where they are the entire time they're held captive.
Oh my God.
He had removed the doorknob so they didn't have any options about opening the door, and they were still duct taped. And there was a light in the closet, but they weren't able to grab the light because they were, like, kind of stuck on the floor.
What the fuck?
So all they could do was just, like, chill there.
Wait?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So Ming set up some rules. He tells them that if they escape, he'll try to kill them. And if one of them escapes, he will kill the other one. So the next day, Mary is taken out of the closet. And she's duct taped to the couch and she sees a camera. And it just kind of feels like he's interviewing her. But this is where she finds out her connection to Ming. He's not really a stranger. He's a stranger.
So he's, like, just sitting on the couch talking to her but filming it?
Uh-huh.
Ew, that's so creepy. What?
Right? So it turns out he ended up being one of her students.
In the Philippines?
No, in the U.S. when she was, like, a teacher 15
Back
years
in the
ago.
Day?
15 years ago.
How did he find her?
and he had gotten romantic feelings for her, and he just couldn't help himself.
For 15 years?
Yeah, he's holding the flame for this woman.
Okay, so that's obsessed.
So he decided to kidnap her because he had been stalking her for 15 years.
And she had no idea?
Whenever Ming had the time, he followed Mary in her car. He would just get binoculars to look into the family home and just was obsessed with her.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That was unexpected.
So he knew she was moving back to the Philippines, and he's like, I have to kidnap her now if I'm going to do this.
Wow. Okay.
And he felt like if she got to know him, she would have the same feelings for him. She would fall in love
with him. Ming.
What the Beauty and the Beast is going on here.
Oh, no.
She just had to give him a chance.
But she didn't, like, recognize him at first.
No, she's like, who is this guy? I mean, 15 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
And students grow up, too. Yeah.
So he probably didn't look the same.
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
And so she had just no idea this dude's, like, watching her.
No idea.
Oh, my God.
And this wasn't the first time he tried to kidnap her. Oh! There were multiple attempts over the years, but they didn't work out.
Oh.
It was like an anvil was dropped on him when he was going to kidnap. And he's like, oh, plan foiled again.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's surprising. His motive was, he asked Mary what grade she ended up giving him, and she was like, I don't know, but probably an F if you're doing this shit to me. And she had given him a B minus, which took down his, which tarnished his perfect record.
Okay, sir, you gotta let things go.
Yeah, so obviously Ming was mentally ill.
Ming's clearly not okay.
And growing up, his mom said that she was scared of him. And his siblings said that they were also scared of him because he had uncontrollable bouts of anger.
Oh, my God.
And he was just emotionless, which is really scary. So, you know, no thanks to that.
Oh.
And, yeah, so he tried to kidnap Mary multiple times. And he ended up going to Irving's parents' house because he had the same name as her husband. And that was, like, his parents' house. So he tried to figure out where they were, and he saw Mary leaving, and that's why he assumed that was her house.
Wait, what? He had the same name.
So before he figured out where they lived, he, like, figured out public records, probably searched Irving's name.
Okay.
Went to Irving's parents' house instead.
Oh.
And figured Mary lived there.
Oh, my God.
And he told them that if they reported this to police, he would kill them. But he was asking where Mary was, and he found out that she didn't live there.
And they told him?
They never told anyone, because he said he would kill them if they told anyone that he broke into the house.
Oh, my gosh.
So anywhere she moved or lived, he tried to break into, but he wasn't successful.
So he's like,
he tried to break into her house a few times.
A B-minus type person, I guess.
Yeah, sounds like a B-minus student to me. Sounds like an F student, really.
That's a dick move, sorry.
No, it's like, what?
What the
so
fuck?
So we're back to Mary getting tied up in the camcorder, and he sexually assaulted her. Which was probably
he, like, asking her questions like, do you remember me? Like, what kind of questions was he asking her?
Just as she remembered him and, like, told her about, like, his history of how he was obsessed with her. And,
Wow, that's so scary.
So, yeah, he would sexually assault her. Mary would go back in the closet, and Beth would be like, Mommy, what's going on? She's like, I just miss your dad. And she was sexually assaulted every single day.
Okay, but he didn't do anything to Beth, right?
No, Beth was okay.
Okay, I mean,
like, awful, but yeah, thankfully, but yeah.
Luckily, nothing to the child.
So, this sicko was wondering why Mary wasn't showing any affection to him.
Bro. What?
Which she said she was married, and she was like, I have a husband.
I don't even know you.
And he said, I don't give a shit. You need to be romantic with me.
What?
Like, which, like, makes me feel sick to my stomach when I hear that.
So she'd, like, pretend to, like him?
He ended up putting a plastic bag and putting it around Beth's face.
Oh, my God.
And she kissed him on the cheek, and he was like, nope, not enough. So she ended up kissing him on the lips.
Ew.
And he let Beth live.
Oh, wow.
You take someone hostage and you expect them to be romantic. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, he's clearly, like, not okay.
So, he was trying to play family with them to the point where he actually took them on a trip to Chicago. And he had Beth stay in the RV the whole time. and he would go out in public with Mary, but don't be fooled, he had a gun on her the entire time. So she knew she couldn't ask for help. And,
like,
she just had to,
like, play along, like, yeah. Oh my god, we're so in love.
Well, he would be like, if you try to ask help from anyone, I'll shoot you and I'll shoot them.
That's a really fun
So vacation. She's like, I don't want to have blood on my hands if I what try to ask for hell? Help.
Oh my god, that's so creepy and bizarre.
So creepy. So Ming one day announces that they were going to be moving far away. Oh. And Mary was like, absolutely not. I need to get out. And so the two of them waited until Ming left for work that day at the electronics store.
Okay.
And she was able to remove the hinges from the door because there wasn't a doorknob.
Right.
So she had to, like, use her nails to. Ugh. And she said it felt like they were, like, oiled up. They yeah. were able to slip out, luckily.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. So it wasn't like.
Good job thinking
yeah.
outside the box.
So Beth started freaking out because, you know, he had threatened them so many times. And she's like.
Yeah. And she's a child.
She had to slap Beth. Like, no.
Terrifying.
Like, Beth, calm down. Just, yeah. like, slapped her. Like,
get it together,
rashly.
Beth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm sure she felt bad.
Yeah.
But she's
also,
like,
don't ruin this for us.
Yeah. And she's like, God gave us this ability to escape. So.
It's going to happen.
So what happened was on one of their trips to Chicago or just one of their trips out, she saw a police car. And she memorized the number on the back of the car. And she would, like, every day she would go into the closet and just say that number back so Beth would know it too.
Was this, like, before 911?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Before 911 wasn't everywhere. Like, sure. It is now.
Yeah.
So she just, like, would recite this number all day, every day, so she didn't forget.
Okay.
And, they called the police station. She said, my name is Mary and my daughter Beth, and I believe you're probably looking for us.
Hold, please.
Yeah. Please hold. We have an unusually high volume of calls. So wow. The police let them know that they were on their way, and they told them to stay in the middle of the house and not near any doors and windows, as I told you earlier.
Okay.
And Mary had let them know that he was armed and dangerous. So they needed to be very careful. And Beth asked her mom if they could just go outside and wait for the police.
Smart.
Yeah. And then, you know, they're not under. He can't, like, lock them.
Yeah.
Or anything.
And, like, hold them hostage.
Yeah. So they waited in the bushes. And then they're like, oh, let's go behind the car. They didn't have to wait very long.
Yeah, that's good.
And so pretty much right when they're, like, outside, the police do come. Mm-hmm. They say they hide in the bushes and then behind the car. And they're like, right when they go outside, the police come. I was like, so I don't know.
Okay.
But they noticed some people hiding behind a car, and they first thought it was Ming, so they were, like, weary. And then they noticed it ended up being Mary and Beth, and they just said the smell of the air was so sweet, and it was just a nice bit of freedom.
Oh.
And the police officers ended up asking the woman if, Jason was still in the house.
Okay.
The missing boy.
Yeah.
And this was the moment when Mary realized that Ming actually never let Jason go.
So what did, how did he do that? So he took him out of the trunk, put him in the backseat of the car, and kept him too? In the house? How do they not hear each other?
Hold on.
Okay.
So I don't know if I mentioned this in my notes, but I'll tell you what happens. He took Jason out of the car before he put him in the van. He beat him to death.
No.
Yeah. It was awful.
Oh, my God. What?
Because the police officers did find his body, like, months later. And it was, yeah.
Why would he just a little six-year-old? That's, I know, so horrible.
And, you know, Mary feels bad, too, because she figured he said he was found. So she's like, oh. Jason got to go, and I'm sure she was like, why didn't Jason say anything, you know?
Because
you have to believe the guy, you don't know.
Oh my gosh,
yeah,
that is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you kill the kid? I mean, I guess he didn't want to witness, but, like, also he's six. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's rough.
Oh gosh.
So Ming was charged with the kidnapping and sexual assault of Mary.
Okay, good.
Luckily, Beth was not sexually assaulted, but he was also charged with the kidnapping and murder of Jason. So.
God, that's so sad.
So they ended up having two trials. They had one for Mary and Beth and then one for Jason.
Okay.
And the trial for Mary and Beth was supposed to take place September 1980.
Yeah.
And he tried to get one of his cellmates to murder Mary and Beth.
What?
You know, because they hadn't been through enough. Like, when he was in jail, he's like, I need you to kill these women so they can't testify against me.
Oh, my God.
And he offered his cellmate $50,000, and the cellmate agreed to it.
$50,000?
Yeah, right?
Oh, okay.
And his cellmate, he wrote his cellmate a check for $1,000, and they were monitoring his accounts.
Okay, you dumb.
Yeah. So they questioned his cellmate, and his cellmate admitted to everything.
Yeah, good.
And I don't know what happened to his cellmate, but I'm sure they were not pleased with him. So this trial is insane. It, like, what I'm about to tell you is not a Lifetime movie or a, like, but it's crazy.
Okay.
So the trial was insane. He, of course, pled not guilty. And at one point, Mary had to walk past him to go to the witness stand. And he lunged at Mary and called her a bitch, you know, because he did everything to himself.
Dude.
And he used Jason's body as a bargaining tool. Like, he didn't want to be charged with first-degree murder, and he'd tell them where his body was.
Oh.
Which, first-degree murder can carry a penalty of life in prison or death. And he didn't want those, so he told them that he would tell them or, you know.
Give more details. Yeah. Or whatever.
So, he was sentenced to life in prison for the kidnapping of Beth and Mary, and in the sexual assault of Mary, which was great because that meant he was never getting out of prison. He wasn't going to be a threat to anyone. So, in 1981, so that's good and great, and I'm sure they're happy, yeah, life in prison. But now we have the trial for Jason.
Okay.
This is where shit gets rough.
Oh, jeez.
So, in 1981, they had a trial in two parts. 1981, great year. And it was for Jason's kidnapping and murder. If he was found guilty of second-degree murder and kidnapping, phase two would be that they decide if he is guilty or if he's innocent, due to mental defect, and Mary, being the great person she has, actually decided to testify because she's the only witness to this. And when she was testifying, she was at the stand. Ming was able to run up and he put a knife to her neck.
Why does he have a knife?
My question is, why the fuck was this even able to happen? Why was he not shackled up first and foremost? What? How is nobody watching him?
Why is
How is he able
him?
To do this before anyone intervened? And how the fuck did he get a knife?
Yeah, like, guys.
She should have been protected better.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure seeing him already was traumatic enough. So it's
and
like,
now he's going to attack you and you guys are like, whoopsies.
Yeah, like, why did he have a knife on him? That's
how
the craziest.
Did he get a fucking knife?
Did they not check him?
You'd think that that would be part of
That's where I'm like, this sounds like a movie. Like, where he runs up, it's like a movie, you'd be like, that's too
and
fake.
Where's security?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, how did they
Security!
Yeah, how did they even... What? Yeah.
Wow, that's scary.
So, he said, I will fucking kill her if anyone comes near me. And he was able to cut her face. Mm-hmm. And the officers didn't listen, luckily, and they were able to wrestle him to the ground.
Jesus.
And they took the knife from him. But Mary had to get 60 stitches for her
Whoa,
face.
Whoa, he cut her deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They said 3 inches.
Wow.
Yeah. So the trial for Jason went on, and it turned out there was a hung jury that couldn't decide if Ming was guilty or not.
Y'all just saw him attack her.
That's where I'm like, what the fuck?
Are
but one of the jury members was like, nope, he's innocent.
Okay, let's use our brains here.
Yeah, but they like the jury's like, this person's being ridiculous. They're like,
what?
We saw him just try to kill somebody.
Okay, wow.
So they almost had to call a mistrial.
Oh my God.
And they... You know, they were like, you already got life in prison at least. But.
Jeez. A
few years later, he was up for mandatory release because of his mental illness.
Oh my God.
Just wait. But he was denied. Luckily, and I don't even understand why that was a thing when he got a life sentence and all that shit happened. But, yeah, mandatory release. Like, that just doesn't make any sense. I don't understand where mandatory release came out of.
Were the prisons, like, full up or something?
Like... No, it was just, like, they were like, oh, mandatory release. And then it's like, no, 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 no. Like, what are you doing? So,
like, clearly he, like, yeah, I would agree. I don't, he has a mental illness.
Like, I was listening to this, and all, like, of a sudden it's like mandatory release, and I'm like, what?
Don't
where?
Let him out.
He doesn't need to be
he
out.
He needs to have, like, at least
he
be
needs
in
to
a
be locked up
mental, like, place where they can monitor him. Like,
yeah.
What?
And a few years later, he tried to show remorse. I guess they were trying to release him yet again, and they didn't. But he told everyone he just had a schoolboy crush on the teacher.
Okay, that is more than a crush.
Which
sir.
I'm like, sir, it went you much further her. Than just a schoolboy crush. Like, what are you,
you
talking
kidnapped
about?
Kidnapped her and assaulted her and killed a child.
So they tried to say that he had kidney problems and kidney arthritis.
What?
So he wouldn't be able to offend again.
What is that? What?
And he didn't think what he did was that bad. And he didn't see himself as a sex offender.
Okay. No.
And the psychologists were like, okay, that's the type of person who's going to offend again.
Yeah. You're not taking any accountability. You're saying you have kidney problems, so you're not going to assault someone again?
So he was up for potential release in 2010, and Mary and grown-up Beth went to the trial. And Mary's like, yeah, we've forgiven him, but he does not need to be out of prison.
No.
He is very dangerous. He, like, ruined our life, and he killed a little boy.
And he, just because he has kidney problems, he won't do it again.
And arthritis. He won't offend again.
Yeah, his hands, they get kind of stiff, so.
So he won't be able to offend well. But Mary's like, we forgive him, but he does not need to be out of prison. And Beth's like, yeah, I'm traumatized from that.
Wow.
But yeah, he's still in prison. Okay, and good. You know, Mary to this day kind of tells her story, and yeah, so he's still in jail. And you know, I hope
he
Jason's family was able to find some peace,
because
he was so just a little 6-year old that was curious.
That is so sad.
But yeah, that's the story of the, you know, story of her. And she, you know, talks about Jason a lot, like he was a really sweet little boy. She didn't know him that well though. Yeah. So it's like she can't speak much. But I think it's great she went for his trial, because she's like,
absolutely,
I don't want to see this guy, but I want to make sure little Jason gets justice.
Hell yeah.
Because they were probably in the trunk for a while, and they were like trauma bonding a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's a story. Damn. I'm happy her and Beth were able to make it out, but there should have been no victims in that entire thing.
Wow. That was crazy.
The craziest part to me was like, the trial where he was able to run up to her.
What the hell?
Why are you not? Why is he not shackled?
Yeah, he's like killed someone.
Why did he get a? He was in prison. How
Shouldn't
does he have
he
a knife?
Like, I don't know. Watched better. Like, what?
Right. It's crazy.
Wow.
So
80s.
Yeah, that was a story. But yeah, we'll post pictures of him, Mary, Beth, Jason. We'll post all those pictures on our Instagram. It's Mysterious Mavens Pod on Instagram.
If you have a suggestion, or you have your own story that you would like to share with us, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
We have a Facebook and a TikTok, so go follow those, and we'll try to add some more videos on TikTok. But we're 100 years old, and we don't know what to post.
It's true, yeah.
Sorry, we're 100. It's not easy being 100.
We're more just like the lurkers on TikTok. Or at least I am.
Oh,
like,
God, yeah.
I'll watch videos all day, but I don't
I
post
posted
anything.
My engagement, because I thought that was cute, and I want to have it on social media so I can, like, see it whenever I want.
Yeah, that
so.
Was cute.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so anyways, say hi to us on socials.
Email us if you want suggestions. We love suggestions.
Yeah.
Self-care suggestions, story suggestions, you know.
All the things.
Suggest away.
So, yeah, until next time, self-care yourself.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That's fucked up.
It's so fucked up.